The Symbionese Liberation Army is again in the headlines. Yesterday in California, four former SLA members were charged with murder. The district attorney in Sacramento says new forensic technology makes it possible to connect the former radicals to a killing that occurred during a bank robbery in 1975. Arrested were William Harris, Emily Harris, Michael Borton, and Sarah Jane Olson, who has pleaded guilty recently to an unrelated bombing plot. The Symbionese Liberation Army rose in the early 1970s in the San Francisco Bay Area, becoming notorious with the kidnapping of Patricia Hearst, the newspaper heiress. Jerry Roberts, now the managing editor of the San Francisco Chronicle, describes the early days of the SLA.
I think there were actually nine active members. It was really a very small group, extremely isolated, kind of this ragtag remnant of the other leftist groups at a time when, you really had this fervid atmosphere of politics and cultural change. But these people were really far, far out on the fringes. And in fact, at the time, people who did more serious work in the Bay Area often thought they were agents provocateurs or someone who was perhaps being run by the FBI COINTEL program or something of that category.
For the most part, they were white?
They were white. They were led by a black ex-convict named Donald DeFries, also known as Sitimba Mufume, and they were very much centered on the prisoners' rights movement at that time, although they had kind of dropped out of the more mainstream groups that were doing that.
The word Symbionese comes from where?
It was a reference to symbiotic, and they were attempting to forge what they would call a progressive coalition of oppressed groups by whom they defined almost anyone except white males, people of color, homosexuals, younger people, older people. Their symbol was a seven-headed creature that supposedly drew all of these various strains of the oppressed together.
And the slogan was, death to the fascist insect that preys upon the life of the people.
Yeah, they communicated with these kind of overheated rhetorical tapes, which they often left off at public radio stations around here. That kind of rhetoric was typical of what they did. And there was, I mean, if you tried to examine their communiques, which were quite long, for any sort of ideological coherence or anything, it was very difficult to do that. But that's the kind of rhetoric that was often used.
Well, explain this for us. We have a group of white college-educated young people led by a black ex-convict. They murder, in 1973, Marcus Foster, who's the Oakland school superintendent, who is black. Why was that?
Yeah, the murder of Marcus Foster is really often overlooked in telling the story of this group. Obviously, the kidnap of Patricia Hearst, a white heiress, is something that was covered much more. Their thought was that Marcus Foster was basically carrying water for the white establishment. He was trying to turn around the Oakland schools, an inner-city urban school district, and that somehow by making this statement and assassinating him, the lumpen proletariat would rise up in revolution and applaud this act. In fact, it was extremely terrible act that was condemned roundly by everyone and I think began to show how really wacko they were.
We're talking about the early 70s here. What was the effect, especially in the Bay Area of California, of the presence and the sort of terror that was spread by the SLA?
Well, I think you have to understand that there was this confluence of kind of radical politics and counterculture social change that was going on, and the SLA was really just one part of it. You know, there were a number of so-called radical organizations and individuals who were carrying on violent acts. There was something called the New World Liberation Front, which bombed the house of San Francisco Mayor Joseph Alioto, which planted a bomb at the house of Dianne Feinstein, who at that time was president of the Board of Supervisors or City Council. There was the zebra killings, which were racially motivated killings of white people by black Muslims, and that terrorized a lot of people. And even in the mainstream, we had a police strike in 1975 where the police went out on strike and were carrying guns on picket lines and so on. So one had the sense at times that, civil disorder was there. And, of course, overlaying all of this, you had the Watergate hearings going on where the very legitimacy of the Nixon administration was being challenged. And this was the flip side. So I think as a citizen, there was the sense that we were perhaps verging on anarchy at times.
Mr. Roberts, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Noah.
Jerry Roberts, managing editor of the San Francisco Chronicle.